just go to the Lord's house this morning, thank God for loving us, saving us, being good to us. You know something? God's good.
Amen.
Amen. God's good. There's people up there in the mountains right now, it's Christians, that's lost everything. I guarantee they're still saying that God's good.
Amen.
I've been through my house flooding. It didn't fall down, but it did flood, ruin everything in it. And when I said flood, I don't mean to have a foot of water in it. I mean, it was, you know, neck high. And so, you know, everything in it was ruined in 2020 when that flood came through there. We was blessed. We was blessed. I never once was mad or upset. I was thankful that the very day we standing out there watching the flood, our wedding pictures, everything else that we'd ever had, you know, all of our clothes, our kids' clothes, everything's in this nasty muddy water. This is flowing through there. All the stuff we had outside is getting carried off in the woods. And I can remember standing there in the yard and having my arm around my wife. And I told Stephanie, I said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I said, blessed is the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And you wouldn't believe the outpour support from our community and Christian brothers and sisters that come alongside us to help. And I know that this church, we wasn't even a member of this church. This church had donated money to us to help us. And there's some other churches that did too. There's several other churches that did too. And it was a blessing. We just seen God's people come together. We was thankful, but we knew that that come from the Lord. We understood that. We knew that God had not abandoned us. And there's people right now that they don't understand that. They're receiving help and support. There's a lot that's been going back and forth up there to the mountains and giving support. And we thank God for that. We do. It flooded again down at our house this time. But we didn't lose near as much. We did have some furniture and things in the barn, but like I said, there again, I was thankful. I said, I'm thankful I wasn't living there.
Yeah.
Thankful it wasn't as bad as it was, you know, in other places. And I'm just glad. Went over to where we're building our house. There is a creek over there. And I seen that that creek just don't get up that high. So I was thankful for that. Amen. I was like, this one just don't seem to quite flood as bad. Praise God, you know.
Yes.
God, it's a good creek over here. It stays where it's supposed to. But in any case, so I have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm just thankful. We put a list up in the back. Like I said, there's a lot of places that's getting a lot of help right now. This is what the Lord, I prayed about it. This is the conviction the Lord's given me, is to find a place that maybe is in need, but it's a smaller community that's not receiving as much help as some of the larger communities, and also to wait. Because as the help that they're receiving now, the places that were in the mountains that were affected really bad are going to need help, probably even longer than we can give it.
Yeah.
But I know this, that the days of and in the days to come, because I've been through this, you know, within those first few days, there's a lot of help. And 2 weeks later, you still got a lot to do, and there's a lot of need. But the help, you know, people just get tired. I understand that. If we're up there helping right now, we'd get tired. We'd have to go back to our jobs and everything else.
Yeah.
And also, you know, like me, I think most of us here have, you know, at the very least, had to go out and buy gas for a generator. Maybe you bought generators. You bought drop cords. You've, you know, paid for a lot of meals out to eat that you wasn't planning on paying for. And so on and so forth. You've had to buy a parasol, or maybe you've had to buy, you know, a chain or whatever. You've had expense. I don't think there's anybody here probably that has not incurred some excess expense because of this storm. And so I wanted to give ourselves a chance to recuperate as well so that we could be able to go out and do something for somebody else. And so this is my conviction. October the 17th, that Thursday, I'm off working Thursdays. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be going up to Ashe County in the community of Creston. If you don't know where Creston is, that's because it's a very small place. I go deer hunting up there sometimes at a game lands called Three Top Mountain. It's in right there around Creston. Not far from there is where Curtis Presnell's house is, where he does the Hope After Dope. Not far from that community. He's very familiar with that community, people in that community. They also were greatly affected. There was no houses that were washed down, but there were several that collapsed because the foundations were washed out and so on and so forth. And so they've been hit hard. Thank God that the house that Curtis Presnell and his men stay in, It's still intact, it's still functional, it's still in good shape. But he did provide me with a list of things that him and others need in that area, best of his knowledge. And we put that list in the back there, so if you want to bring any of those items, you can bring them anytime, leave them under the breezeway, and we'll get them and we'll put them up. If you just want to leave them here, if you want to bring them, you know, on the Wednesday night, if you want to bring them next Sunday, and all the way to the following Wednesday night. Because like I said, I'll be leaving October 17th, so we will have all the way to the end to collect items. Next Sunday morning, we're not going to have, like I said, we're not going to do our youth offering this month. We're going to skip that. If you have extra money and you were able to give them, I know many of you have already given to other organizations. That's fine. I understand that. If you don't have it, that's fine. And I appreciate you giving and helping in whatever way you can. Just like Brother Scott, you mentioned that y'all was doing something. That's great. But if you can, this is going to be something that's from the church. This is going to be something that's from Shady Grove. This is Shady Grove's involvement in helping in this situation. And so if you want to be a part of that, we'll be taking up offering next Sunday. I'll be taking that. I'll be going to Sam's Club early that Thursday morning, October 17th, and and if you've got the money today and you're like, well, I'm afraid I'll spend it for now next week, just give it to Miss Sherry. Tell her that's for the offering for the hurricane relief or whatever you want to tell her, and she'll take care of that. She'll get it to us next Sunday. And so I'll be going to Sam's Club on that Wednesday, or I'm sorry, that Thursday, and I'll be getting things like, I'm going to take some of my big coolers. For those of you who go with me to camp, you know what I'm talking about. I got these two huge coolers that, like, these boys dread carrying up and down steps, but they know what I'm talking about. But anyways, I'm going to take those and pack it full of some meat and perishables because, you know, they got the power back on up there now for the most part. And hopefully, that's another thing. That's another reason I want to wait. I want to wait for everybody to have the power back on, the fridge back on, try to get them some stuff where they've lost, you know, because a lot of us have lost stuff in our fridges, and you know, we know what that's like. And so let that get going. And I'm going to try to get some of that stuff and then whatever else would be on that list, you know, that I think would be like the most, I'm going to communicate with him up there and find out what's most needful and get extra of that. And so we'll do that. And that'll be, like I said, in the next coming weeks and next Sunday, we'll be taking up that offering. In the meantime, you can bring any of the stuff that's on that list. If you want to get look at that list, take a picture of it with your phone. And I want to add this. Sherry wrote that list out for me. I appreciate that, Sherry. Also, where's it at? I lost it. Here we go. Preacher Curtis told me that his pastor up there, I forget his name. Forgive me, I can't remember his name. But he was flooded. And he's got clothes that's been donated to him, but he doesn't have any suits. All his suits were ruined. He doesn't have any suits. And he needs his size, if anybody has any or knows anybody that's this size that happen to have suit jackets or pants or preaching clothes, it's a 40 regular jacket size, 34-30 pants, and a 16 to 16 and a half necktie size. So if you know anybody that's in that size range that has some suits or anything that they could give away or, you know, anything they would like to donate or anything like that, then also include that. But yeah, we'll be doing that. We're praying about that. Like I said, you don't have to give today. We went out and need several quite a bit, and you know, I spent a lot of gas and generators and chainsaws and driving around and going, you know, last Sunday we didn't have service. I wanted to get out in the community and help some people, so that's what I've done. You know, I spent a tank full of gas just riding around, and I spent, you know, a whole thing of gas in my chainsaw. And, I mean, that's not much, but then on top of that, we went out and eat like two meals a day for like 3 or 4 days, not being able to cook at the house. And that was costly when you got a family of five. And so I myself am trying to recuperate, and I know a lot of you are. And a lot of you didn't have generators, you lost all your groceries and everything else. So, like I said, you know, you got this paycheck this week. Hopefully you got your power back on. You get a paycheck next week. If you got anything extra, yay, then give.
Can you
give
me those suit sizes?
The suit sizes?
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to write it down. It's the jacket size is a 40 regular, the pants are 34-30, and the neck size for the ties and shirts is 16 to 16 and a half. Ain't no way I feel me. I got like a 21. I got like a big old fat neck.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. This basketball's be a little fella.
He's my size, short legs.
He's your size. All right. Like I said, you know, if you've ever been through anything like that, a house fire, a flood, or, you know, a tornado or anything like that, you know, and you're a Christian, you just know that God can bring lives like that and gives peace that surpasses understanding. Amen. And if you don't have that, then you shouldn't seek for God to do something for you. You should just draw nigh to it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not no great Christian. I don't deserve anything of God. I deserve the worst that he would have to offer. But I know this, that in troublesome times, God is near.
Amen.
And he comforts me. He gives me peace. And I found great solace in some of the worst times that others might would consider worst times in life. But God's turned them into blessed times because his presence was so real and his comfort was so great.
Amen.
I want to ask Brother Nick if he'd come up here and share a little bit about what he went through during this storm. And I'll preface this with saying I after I heard about his situation, I was heartbroken. I was grievous, and he wasn't worried a bit. He's just laughing about it, just grinning. So he told me, he said, I ain't worried about it. He said, Lord, take care of me. And he said, Lord, bring a blessing out of it. I said, I'm glad you got faith, Nick. I appreciate you being that way. You go ahead and tell it, brother.
Night Friday, and it rained all night, and I got up and went to work, and I was, even on my way to work, I mean, there's trees down and everything. It took me about an hour to get there, and I even called the supervisor, and I was like, you know, do I need to come in? He's like, yeah, come on in, and I went on in. When I got there, everybody was still there, you know, and everybody else told me. But the neighbors got up there and was looking, and he's calling me and he asked me, he's like, where are you at? And I was like, I'm at work. He's like, well, tree's dead. Got to fail tree camera. I said, man, you know, it got me at first. And then I was like, well, you know, and then I got to a couple hours later, I was going home and I sat there praying. I was like, Lord, just let me get my flames out. So, I mean, it's hard to start completely over.
Yeah, that's where this was his home. This wasn't just the camper for leisure, this is where you live.
Yes, yeah, I live in it. And, you know, I was like, just let me get my clothes out. And, you know, a few things that, you know, just mean a lot to me. And, well, I got there and I walked down in there. And these trees down on the road. You know, and I seen it. Man, it really did happen. It really it crushed it. Like, well, I just prayed, you know. And I just thank God, you know, because I just felt like, really, two Sundays ago, when you said put more in the plate than you can afford,
yeah,
I did that.
Amen.
And, you know, and I just know that there's a blessing coming.
Yeah.
Well, after I got my clothes and everything out, and I went to my mama's, and, you know, I stayed a couple nights there. And Saturday, I called Stoney, and I said, you know, I was like, we have a church tomorrow. I just want to pray. I just want, you know, I just want everybody else to help me pray for, you know, me home. And he said, no, we didn't have them. And he said, can anything I know? I said, yeah, just pray for me for a new camper. And that's when he told me. He's like, your neighbor over here got one. They want somebody to take over payments on them. I was like, boy, that'd be a blessing. But not only is it a blessing, he upgraded me by a long shot because I was in just a little pool behind with one slide out, and I got a fifth wheel with two slide outs. Big old, more room than I know what to do with. And it's just a blessing. And also, you know, I've been struggling here the past few years about having, you know, some place that I feel at home. Well, I hear where it's the camper sitting at, and told me I can rent that, and I tell you what, I feel more at home there than I have felt in a long time.
Amen.
And I mean, it's a blessing. And also, I need to use a bay in this garage when I need to work on something. So, I mean, everything here is just a blessing.
Amen.
It ain't just a little blessing, either. Blessing ain't big. I'm very happy of it.
Amen.
I feel like, you know, you can just pray, you know, everything goes right where it's at, because that's just, I feel at home there, and I just feel like I do good there.
Amen.
Seeing everybody.
Praise God.
Amen.
Just thank the Lord, even in the hard times.
Yeah.
It's crazy, thank Him, and He'll show you where He's at.
Yeah.
And give you a blessing, let your heart desires.
Yeah.
Me, for sure.
That lot.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you.
Amen.
Love you, brother. Appreciate you. He didn't tell this part, but what I told him is, I said, this guy will probably let you take over payments because he's moving to the beach. And I said, and I don't think he knows what to do with the camper. And I said, I know he still owes for it, is what I've been told. Well, I said, we'll go over and see him. I said, I'll find out when he's moving. We got over there. They said, well, he moved yesterday. He left yesterday. Mm-hmm. So he just left the day before.
Yeah.
And called him, yeah, I'd be glad for you to just take over payments. And he's getting it at a pretty good deal for the year and the size that it is. If any of y'all boys want one for recreational, well, it's too bad because he done got a good deal on that. but yeah, the Lord just worked it out. You know, it just it amazed me. I was worried to death for him. I said, man, you know, Nick, he's worked so hard to get that place over there, and he's so tickled with it, so proud to have a place of his own. And, you know, then this tree's come down. I thought, man, that just, you know, that just broke my heart. And I said, Nick, I'm so sorry. You know, is there anything? He said, oh, just pray for me. He said, be all right. He said, Lord, you're going to bring a blessing out of it. I said, amen. I appreciate this, buddy. Amen. All right. Miss Vivian, you and Tony, Brenda, will come sing for us. Huh? Well, go ahead. I ain't got that long of a message. Feel some time. Say this, you know, you don't think much about having power until you miss it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't think much about being at church until you miss it.
Amen.
And I sit there in the Sunday school room this morning, just having fellowship, at least talking. And I said, man, I missed this. Just missed one time. Sunday school, just missed one time. And I said, you don't realize how much this means to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Till you ain't here. And you know, it seemed like we was without power forever, but it seemed like we was without church for even longer than that, you know. And I'm thankful, you know, I'm all the time just, you know, thinking, oh, Lord, I got to get ready for church, you know. Sometimes, you know, it almost, and we all do this, sometimes it just seems like a burden, when it ought to always be a blessing.
Amen.
You get to come to the house of God and worship. I just thank God for being able to be here. So I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for allowing us to come in and be here together. You know, whenever things like this happen, getting out a service exactly 12 o'clock, leaving the first one in the buffet line at Abley's or whatever the case may be, don't seem like that big of a problem anymore, does it?
Amen.
If you went out late anywhere in the last week, you know, you waited a whole lot longer than what you do on a Sunday after church, right? Amen. Even if you went to a drive-thru line. So I thank God. I'll tell you this, most people got the power back on, most things are going back on. I about guarantee anywhere you want to be today, you'd wait less time than I spent on a Saturday evening at Taco Bell drive-thru. So thank God, amen. Praise God.
course, of course.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm not ashamed, stand and say.
I
Amen.
You never tell my guys,
this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We got a good God, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. He's worthy to brag on.
Amen.
Love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Water. waist deep, trying to drag them through there, and lost three of them. But one of the ones we lost was left behind. It was down there to itself. We just couldn't get it to move. We just wouldn't budge. We tried to flush it. It just followed us all the way. And the water's rising, and we're running out of time. So we went on, we left it. And my other cousin Dave, who sat at the truck the whole time, didn't help at all, said, you know, y'all just going to leave that one? And I said, it wouldn't come. I said, I told Ben we had to leave it. I said, there wasn't nothing we could do. And I said, we saved 99% of them. He said, well, what's that about the Bible says about the good shepherd left the 99 and after the one? And I said, the Bible also says that when the flood came, God shut the door on the ark. And whenever he shut the door, he doesn't give them a chance. And if they hadn't got in, they missed it. I said, so he missed it. We're giving them a chance. But if you have your Bibles in the book of Luke in chapter number 13, we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? As I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Father, I thank you for your word and pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it and to the preaching hour, Lord. May you be glorified this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God wants repentance from his people. That's what John the Baptist preached, wasn't it?
Yes.
Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible says that whenever we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You know, a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking, God wants me to just do this better. God wants me to improve. God wants me. You know what God wants? He wants repentance.
Yeah.
That word repentance, a lot of times we get that mixed up. A lot of times we know it means to turn away, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times we think that means we're just going to quit doing something. Repentance is just like this. It's just as simple as this. It's just agreeing with God that he's right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. And whenever you begin to agree with God, you'll see things change. There'll be things that will change, absolutely. You'll still be a sinner. I'm still a sinner. I've been saved by grace. It ain't been my works. I can assure you of that. I can tell you this. I ain't who I ought to be. If you spend enough time around me, if you watch me close enough, if you get me good and upset, I'm going to get in the flesh of it. I'm going to let you down. I'm just being honest. But I'm going to say this. By the grace of God, I ain't who I used to be. Amen.
Amen.
He saved me and he's done something in my life. And he's put his Holy Ghost inside of me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God's guided me and helped me through a lot of things. But I want to say this, what God wants is he wants repentance. Imagine, if you would, you got a child. You tell them, you say, honey, you need to pick up your toys. And they say, why? Because I'm going to beat your hiney, and if you don't, pick up your toys. Or imagine if you got a child and they run through the house and they jerk the cabinet open and they want to pour them a glass of milk. And they want their favorite glass, so they reach past 12 of them to get the one in the back and they pull three or four out and bust on the countertop. They bust on the floor. And then there's a mess to clean up. And they come and you tell them, you say, honey, why'd you do that? And this is their reply. Well, if you wouldn't have put my favorite glass in the back where I had to reach through all that to get it, it wouldn't have been a problem. How's that going to make you feel? But see, that's the way we act towards God a lot of times.
Yeah.
God, it's your fault things ain't going my way.
Right.
God, it's your fault I've made a mess in my life. When in reality, all they want to hear from them kids is, Mama, Daddy, I'm sorry. I'll make it right. I'll clean it up. I shouldn't have done that.
Amen.
Amen. That's repentance, amen.
Amen.
To just say, God, I was the one that messed it up. God, you've done it right. You've done it all right. He ain't never done me or you wrong, amen?
Right.
When we can get to that place, that's a place of having a repentant heart to say, God, you've been good all along.
Amen.
You've been right
done me no harm. Everything you've ever done's been for my benefit. Hey, I want to tell you this. This is coming from somebody who's been through some hard times in life. Amen. And I want to tell you this. Everything that ever happened to me, if it was something that I suffered because of my own fault, then that's just my own doing. And if it's something that I suffered because God put me through it, it's because that He loved me and wanted to bring good out of it. Amen. And there was something in my heart, my attitude, that God wanted to help me and correct. And I praise God for it. Amen. So the Bible says to praise God in tribulations also. Know the tribulation worketh patience, and patience faith. Amen. And faith produces hope, and hope makes you not ashamed. Amen. God wants repentance from us. That's what He wanted then. That's what He wants now. That's what He always wants from us here on this earth is repentance. You say, well, how can I show up for church? That's great. That's a good thing. I give to the offering. That's great. You should. I'm glad that you do. You say, well, I changed this. And I you know what? I'm proud of myself because I didn't do it. God don't want all your deeds and your good things and your list of boxes you can check off. What He wants is repentance.
Yes.
What He wants is He wants your face in this altar to come forward and to say, God, these things in my life that I know ain't right. God, these things that I've had every excuse in the world for, that I've excused myself. And I've said, well, I've had this attitude and I've had this character flaw. But God, I've got an excuse for it. And what God wants is He wants repentance. Amen.
Amen.
We see a storm that's come through. I've heard a lot of comments. This is something some years ago I would have been saying myself. I've heard a lot of comments about, you know, that it's hit up here in Asheville. You know, that's where all the homosexuals are. And it's hit up here at Chimney Rock. And all they do up there is drink. Well, you know what? There's some Christians around up there too.
Yes, right.
Puts a whole new perspective on that scripture. God causes it to rain on the just and unjust.
Yes, yes.
We always think of that as God's mercy being on the just and unjust, but sometimes rain doesn't bring mercy, does it?
Right, right.
Amen. But He makes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Meaning this, that God gives mercy to those that don't deserve it, like me and you.
Yep.
Amen. And sometimes, according to our standard, we can see people go through horrible things that we think wouldn't deserve it. Yeah. But God is still just.
Amen.
Matter of fact, this question of God's character arose during the time that Jesus was on earth. And then we find that in Luke chapter 13, where that it says that at that season, it says there were some who told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, if you don't know what that means, what he's saying is this, is that Pilate had sent soldiers in while these men were in the temple, and they were making sacrifice to God. They were doing the Lord's work. They were in a holy place. In the temple. That's what they were doing. Because it said they had mingled their blood with their sacrifice. Their own blood was mixed with the blood of their sacrifice. Meaning that they were slain while they were doing the most holy thing that they could be doing. They said, what have they must have done that God would allow this to happen? Is God not sovereign? I believe God's sovereign.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. But this is the thing. They said, what have they done? And we might look at people that's going through something. We might see people up in the mountains going through a hurricane, whatever the case may be. We might see somebody's house burnt down. I don't know. And we might even think, well, what have they done that God would do that to them? But Jesus replies this. He said, you think that they were sinners above the rest of the Galileans? He said, I tell you no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
What he's saying is this. And he said that what he demands from every man, woman, and child is repentance. He says, your good works don't mean anything. He said, you think that that excludes you from the judgment of God? It does not.
That's right.
Them people in the mountains, they thought that they were fortified. Who would have ever thought that it would flood that kind of way and bring that kind of devastation into the mountains of North Carolina? If you've not seen the pictures, if you've not seen the videos, I got a news flash for some of you older people. Hugo does not compare. It does not compare to what's not. Maybe around here, people, I keep hearing people say, it was almost as bad as Hugo. Around here, yeah. But you go up there, man, there's mudslides, there's landslides, there's roads, there's mission. There's stuff that they never thought would have happened. Tunnels has collapsed, bridges has went away. There's towns, it's whole entire towns, it's isolated, you can't even get into. I mean, it just blows my mind to see that. Just a week ago, when everybody was expecting that tornado to come, my dad, he's got a friend up in the mountains. He swaps and trades tractors side by side with the lot. He's kind of in the same business as Dad. He said, you worried about that hurricane coming? He said, it's going to hit up here hard. He said, what about that creek down there? Is it flood? He said, oh, if you're in the mountains, we don't worry about it. He said, it all runs off so fast. He said, you know, in all the years, he said, it's never flooded up here. He said, we don't have to worry about tornadoes and things up here. We're 4 to 5 in these mountains. God's got a way of reaching into places you don't think he can.
That's right.
If you read the book of Job, chapter 40, how many of you like dinosaurs?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible talks about dinosaurs. How many of you know that?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Job in chapter 40 talks about what he calls a behemoth. I believe he's talking about a brontosaurus or brachiosaurus.
Yeah.
And in my Scofield Bible, he says, he gives an italic there, and it says that it's talking about an elephant, but I've never seen an elephant that has a tail like a cedar tree. But the Bible calls that thing a behemoth. He says that his nose pierced through snares. That means that man can't trap it. Man can't do nothing with this animal. This animal is just bigger than life itself. It said that this animal trusts that he can bring up the Jordan River with his mouth. It says that the Bible calls him the chief of the ways of God.
Yeah.
Why? Because he just does what he wants when he wants to. Nobody stops him.
Yeah.
He's just such a big, giant creature. The Bible tells about. The Bible also says this, says he who made him can cause his sword to approach unto him.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen. Now this thing, this creature that's 4 to 5, is bigger and stronger than this. See, this is the thing. If you're like me, you think, well, I'll arm myself, you know, I'll make sure that I'm armed. And that way, if anybody tries to arm out, I'll be armed. And listen, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, arm yourselves. He said, if you didn't have a sword, say you couldn't buy a sword.
Yeah.
He did. He said that. But nevertheless, my security comes from the Lord.
Yes.
From his mercy.
Amen.
From his grace.
Yes.
We're building a house where it's at. My nearest neighbors is going to be A.D. and Christine and Richard Billy, Miss Vivian, Miss Edna. And so that's when we'll be calling if I need help. I'm going to tell them to get down there. It's a hurry. There's somebody trying to break in. So, you know, I'm not making fun, but you see what I'm saying. I'm in kind of a predicament here. You know, as far as worrying about my family, you know, where we're at, there's no other houses right there. And to me, if I was a thief or a criminal, that'd be an ideal spot to come and try to break into. So I've got all kinds of ideas. I'm going to put a gate up. I'm going to live in a gated community like Ethan Carroll. And that's one idea. Another idea is, you know, they ain't really but about 5 or 10% of people that will actually defend their home and shoot you. Most people is just going to call the law and run high. That's a fact. And so a criminal, you know, that they're going to most likely, if they're going to steal something, they're going to try to do it when nobody's home. If they're looking to hurt your wife or children, they're definitely going to wait for their home. And they're only going to assume that there's just a small chance that you might hurt them. But if they've got a big dog like a German Shepherd, then there's about 100% chance that thing's going to bite you. So that's my second plan of action. I'm going to get 2 of them. I'm going to put them out there. Now, I'm not just joking. I tell my wife all this, and I think about all this, you know. And I'm like, another thing I need to do, because I worry about this stuff, because we've always had neighbors. We've always had my dad and Ronnie out there, and people to watch after my family. I was a man. My responsibility to protect my family. I worry about this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think about this, and I worry about this stuff. And I'm like, I didn't get my wife out there and get her shooting. She's scared to death of guns, and I didn't get out there and get her used to custom shoot her pistol and being able to defend herself. I need to have Parker. He's old enough. I need to hit up him out there and, you know, show him how to work different firearms and get him prepared in case anything was to ever happen. And I spend a great deal of time worrying about this. And then I see what happens up here in these mountains. And then I'm reminded that no matter what, I'm really not going to be all that fortified.
Right.
Because this is the thing. What a good is all that compared to the hedge that God can put in.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm just going to do. I'm just going to do like I always do. I'm just going to keep praying. Like I do every morning on the way to work. God, watch over my family today. Take care of them, protect them, keep them safe.
Yes.
Lord, watch over my church today. I pray that you watch over, protect them, keep them safe. Watch them youngins as they go to school. Watch all them moms and daddies as they're going to work.
Yes.
Watch them older families as they're going about their day. Just keep them safe. Keep their health good. I pray, Lord. And you know what? He's the only one that's really able.
Yeah.
And I think how futile it is for me to have my trust in anything but him.
Yes.
You can see that he said he that made it can make his sword approach unto him. Yes. I want to say this, we'd never thought we'd see the day that the devastation we brought into the mountains the way that it has,
right.
The winds that
right.
were there, the waters that were there.
Right.
I mean, it scientifically, it don't make sense. It's uphill and it all runs downhill. How does it build up? It don't make sense, but hey, it happened.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why they say, that's like they said, they can't explain exactly you know, how the world flooded, except another, which I've heard someone say they can, I've heard someone say they can't. But either way, I know this, the Bible says it, it's true, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. What God says here in the scripture is this. He said, you are not excluded from the judgment of God.
Right.
Doesn't matter who your mom and daddy was. It doesn't matter what church you go to. I appreciate what you said, Brother Dan. I feel the same way. It's the best church in the whole country. Every man that takes that pulpit, I tell them that. And then I tell them, I say, but we're still sinners and preach to us. Amen. I do ask when you're not here and you go, there's anybody here, I tell them, I say, this is the best church in the whole country. I believe that. I said, but we're sinners and you just preach to us. Amen.
Yeah.
But regardless, it doesn't matter what church you're in. It doesn't matter that you're a member of this church or that you go to this church. It doesn't matter who your mom and dad was. It doesn't matter how many boxes you can check. You know what God wants you? He wants your repentance.
Amen.
You know what? Matter of fact, we sit there with one point. Well, it's the homos in action. And it's all the beer drinkers up there in Chimney Rock. The Bible says judgment begins where? At the house of God. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. That's why we see the first century church slain for what they believed. They were willing to die for it. They were martyred for it. Why? Because they were willing to continue pressing toward that mark. The world out there doesn't want to hear the gospel. The world out there, all they want to hear about is that they love to hear about the church coming in and the helping communities and people that's lost things. And they love to hear about people getting together and doing all that. But I want to say this, you can do that in the name of Allah. You can do that in the name of Buddha. You can do that in the name of the government or whatever the case may be. But I want to say this, you can give the gospel by one name and one name only. And that's the only name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. And that is of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wherefore he commands every man everywhere to repent. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says repentance is not something that you do one time. It's not a one and done. It is a lifestyle that you lead. Mm-hmm. And if you get to a place where that you are not finding room for repentance in your life anymore, you need to do some self-reflection.
Amen.
You need to go for a checkup to the good doctor. Amen.
Yes.
He says this, and I'm about done. Verse 3, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He said, are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all the men that were dwelt in Jerusalem? There was a tower, we don't know much about it, apparently. There's a tower, it might have been under construction. It might have been one that they was repairing. Might have just been they were bystanders standing nearby. It fell on them. There was some sort of what you might say a form of natural disaster. Might have been a whirlwind that fell, earthquake, we don't know. But it come down and killed 18 men. He said, do you think that means that they were more deserving than you were? He said, no. He said, but except you repent, you shall like us better. The point is this. The very fact that you're here this morning and got breath from your lungs ain't because you've done something good for God.
Right.
It ain't because you deserve it, it's because of the mercy and the grace of God.
Amen.
When's the last time you just cried out to God and you said, God, you're right. You've never done me wrong. I'm wrong. I'm still wrong. Always going to be wrong, God. Will you give me that glorified body? When's the last time you just got your heart in that position? To just say, God, I just want to glorify you with showing my humility. And before everybody here, part of repentance and confession is being unashamed.
Yes.
When you're not ashamed of him, that means you're not afraid to embarrass the flesh.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. I wonder if you would be willing to come to this altar and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Lord, I don't deserve any mercy, God, but thank you for giving it to me anyway. I ain't heard a thing from you. God, you give me so much more than I could have ever asked for. And I just want to thank you. I just want to say, Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. The mercy that you give me today. The grace that you supply with me every day. Every song they want to sing this morning, every word that was said was that of gratitude and thankfulness of a good and wonderful God. I hope this morning that you're not going to leave here having something undone that you need to do. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved and received the free pardon of your sin, know this, that he took your place on that cross that you could be forgiven. You'll never earn it. You'll never deserve it. You'll never start doing good enough. You'll never change your ways. The only option you got is the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ that was given for you, the gift of salvation. You could bring your very first time you've ever repented this altar this morning and receive the free gift of life, eternal life, be born again into the family of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other requirement than to call on his name. As I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Don't hold back. Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving me, God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I don't deserve it. Oh, God, but you've been so good to me. Oh, Lord, you give me a good family, Lord, a good wife, Lord. I take it all for granted. I take my children for granted. I take my church for granted. Oh, Lord, I take so many people in my life, Lord, everything that you do for granted. Lord, I don't appreciate like I should. Lord, I confess before you, Lord, that so often I feel like, Lord, as if I'm owed something, Lord, and I'm not here to fame or judgment, God. I thank you, Lord, for giving me breath in my lungs today. Thank you, Lord, for having me to allow me to step and walk and not be a cripple today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for giving me a voice to be able to sing and be able to preach, Lord, to be able to talk and communicate and fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, for giving me a mind that I can think and reason, God, that I can talk to you and be able to pray. I thank you for being willing, God, to hear my voice, Lord, and Lord, that you would even open up and entertain, Lord, the request that I have. I thank you for making it possible, Lord, through the blood that was shed on Calvary. I thank you for the grace that you give me every day, Lord, where that you hide my sin and you hide and overlook my shortcomings, Lord, and my failures. I thank you for the strength that you give me when you grow me and how that you mold me, God, and you work in my heart with the Holy Spirit and that you draw me closer to you, Lord. I don't deserve any of that. Lord, I've never earned that, Lord. I've never even wanted to do what was right, God. If it wasn't for your righteous hand guiding me, God, I'd still, Lord, be living in wickedness. And I just thank you and I praise your name this morning, Father. Lord, every trial I've went through, God, it's been something that I've done, Lord. It's where I've disobeyed or failed you, Father. Lord, or for another reason that you just wanted to help me and grow me. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I pray, God, you continue to have mercy on me and forgive me, Lord, where I failed you. And God, that you'd just be glorified in my life, I pray. Lord, not that you need my help, Lord. You don't need me at all, but it's my privilege and honor to get to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you'd just help me, Lord, to continue, Lord, to grow. God, just give me a thankful heart, I pray. Let me see, open the veil, let me see, God, the blessings. Lord, let it not be hid from me. Let my mind not grow bitter, Lord, from dwelling on things where I shouldn't. God, let me just be thankful for the things and such as I have, God, and be content therewith. Lord, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for this church. I pray that you meet every need that's been brought to this altar this morning. Lord, that you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we'll be taking up stuff between now and October 17th. There's a list in the back for specifics, items. You can go through and you can take a picture of that. If you want to get any of that, you're welcome to. We'd be glad to have it. If you just want to get money, like I said, I'll be making a trip to Sam's Club early that morning as soon as they open. Try to get in there and get some things. If anybody is going to be available to go with me to Sam's Club to help me load stuff, and make a trip to that Thursday. Amen. I appreciate you volunteering. Go around and see volunteer. Robin, you gonna be off early that Thursday?
Maybe.
If you're off early, you can go help us.
I just call in.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to get off.
All right. Well, that'd be great. We'll get some help. Johnson, ride moving. And we'll go up there. I'm gonna try to talk to Ricky Mason, bar his enclosed trailer. And I'm gonna load it up in my truck. And we'll make sure you can go up there that Thursday at 7. All right. Is all hearts and minds clear?
Amen.
I appreciate each and every one of y'all. Love. Pray for me, pray for one another. You're at liberty to go.